franchise with championship pedigree and something to prove.
Giannis! Oh!
A new-look roster with a generational superstar ready to make history.
Milwaukee Bucks, I'm here, baby.
With all the expectations and the noise, the Milwaukee Bucks are focused on one thing: how to win it all. I'm Marcus Johnson, and this season on Behind the Bucks, go inside the team's pursuit of a title. This is Locked In, presented by Gallagher on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. This is episode one, From the Jump. Every offseason, 29 teams are forced to reflect on why they fell short of the ultimate goal, and then figure out what are they going to do about it. In Milwaukee, Bucks general manager John Horst and head coach Doc Rivers know what the team needs to evolve to contend, and they reshape the roster to make it happen.
Ultimately, we're a faster, more athletic, more versatile offensively and defensively suited team, obviously highlighted by the Miles Turner acquisition, which was huge for us. You know, heavily focused on how can we maximize Giannis's impact on our team. I think ultimately we really wanted to be a more versatile, fast-playing, athletic team that maximized the style of play that we want.
And we think the changes we made will help that.
Ever since the Bucks made the league-altering move of signing star free agent Miles Turner, Turner has made a point of embracing his new home. At Media Day, he spoke about why that was so important to him.
It was a big move, you know, coming to get me, and I just wanted to, you know, reciprocate, you know, my appreciation. I'm in a city now that wants to celebrate me. There's a great quote that says, you know, go where you're celebrated, and I feel like that's here.
And it's not just the fans that are celebrating Turner's arrival in Milwaukee.
I think as a team, we had a great summer. We added some great pieces. Obviously, Mike Turner's going to be huge for us.
Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo may have been away from the team to start training camp as he recovered from COVID, but his excitement over pairing up with one of the league's best stretch fives was evident.
We complement one another game so well, and he will create so much space for me and will create so many opportunities for him to be great also. So I'm excited. You know, I know that people are excited. I know the fans are excited, but I think me and Miles were more excited than everybody.
And the vision that John Horst and Doc Rivers had for the team to get younger, play faster, that's one that Giannis believes will help the team contend.
I really believe in this team, and I think this team full of dogs. Milwaukee, I think it's a great team. It's a sleeper, and a lot of people might not take us serious, but I think we're a very, very dangerous team.
Giannis isn't the only player who has heard the noise. Sitting down with Bucks big man Bobby Portis, it was something that was on his mind, too.
Just over the summer, you know, look at our team and what other people were saying about our team. You can't be nothing but motivated, right? Now I remember there's so many memes and things, like, put your finger over Giannis, look at all these other players on the team, like, what do you guys see? You know what I'm saying? Like, so we have a lot of things to be motivated for.
But Bobby knows memes won't decide how far this team goes.
We have a lot of talent in our room, and we know what we have in our locker room. It's just on us to build our camaraderie every day, build our chemistry, and go out there and fight for one another. I think that's what it comes down to.
And in the ramp-up to the regular season, this is the time where the team comes together, builds camaraderie, competes for their roles, and sets the tone for the season.
Training camp starting tomorrow is going to be great for us to compete. We have a lot of different guys in different positions that can do and help the team win in different ways. So I'm very much so excited, and I like our makeup of our team.
For years, the team relied on an aging core of veteran players. But the incumbents on the roster have largely been replaced by a young crop of players. We have more upside than experience. Roles are up for grabs throughout the rotation, and the next few weeks will determine not only how many minutes players can expect, but if they will even make the team. At training camp, this is the price of competition. For someone to win, someone has to lose. Head coach Doc Rivers said as much after a training camp practice.
Guys are fighting for their lives, and then the guys who aren't are fighting for their minutes, which is their lives, you know? So It's a good thing.
For the players on this team, these stakes are nothing new. It has been a lifelong journey to even make it to the NBA.
Anything we do, you see me doing the basketball floor, is for me and him that we've been working on since 5 years old, training on the track, and, you know, we set out a plan.
That's Bucks guard Gary Trent Jr., one of the players on the team whose role could grow this season. He proved in the playoffs last year that he could step up when it counts. And Gary is not exaggerating. He has been preparing for this since he was 5 years old. His father, Gary Trent Sr., a 9-year NBA veteran, was a valuable role player throughout his career. The elder Trent joined my son Chris and I on our Here District podcast this summer to corroborate his son's timeline, and he detailed the Bobby Knight-inspired workout regimen for his kindergarten-age son.
I was a big fan of Bobby Knight, and I was a big fan of, like, grind work. Like, just grind you to death. Just yep. You want to quit. Yep. Like, just work till you want to quit, and then when you want to quit, I ain't going to let you. So I took my son to the track where I used to go to middle school at, and I said, son, I want you to dribble me a lap. Dribble me a lap with your left hand. I said, every 100 meters, I want you to stop, give me 10 push-ups, give me 10 sit-ups. So I will make him do one lap with his left, another with his right, another with his left, and then the fourth lap will be crossovers, and then the fifth lap will be plyometric skips, and the sixth lap will be just dribble, sprint, dribble. But you had to stop every 100 meters and give me 10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups. That's 160 push-ups, 160 sit-ups on a five-year-old, you know?
And Gary Trent Sr. knew not even that level of commitment at that age would guarantee his son would be able to sustain a career as a professional basketball player.
You got to realize, man, you're trying to take a five-year-old and basically tell him, I need a 14-year internship out of you for a maybe.
For Gary Trent Jr., his 14-year internship led to more than just a maybe. It led to a scholarship to play at Duke and eventually a career in the NBA. But it all started on that middle school track when he was 5 years old.
He was a sacrificial lamb for me for his whole life, on and off the court. How to attack things, how to problem solve, how to go about things, you know, and instilled the right ways in me and taught me the right ways to go about things. And it was great, though, you know, special.
Even to this day, Gary Trent Sr. drives from his home in Minnesota and tries to bring his younger sons to as many games as possible. Having them in the stands gives Gary Trent Jr. more than just confidence.
Yeah, it was great. You know, obviously, he's motivational as well. Obviously, my father is there, the person that I've trained with my whole life. So obviously, I'm trying to showcase to myself and him what we've been working on, how it looks. You know, obviously, him being there helps a lot. If I'm having a bad shooting game, tired, he'll tell me pointers and tips on what I should do. Like, okay, when you're shooting the ball, it's hitting the front of the rim. So that means you might be a little more tired. So use more legs. So little stuff like that. I'm just trying to come down to the bleachers in between halftime and just say different things or pointers that he may see on the floor.
Gary Trent alone from three, and he rips the cords again. Gary Trent Jr. with a new playoff career high.
After being a vital contributor in the Bucks' first round series against the Pacers last postseason, Gary enters this season likely transitioning into a larger role in the offense. But even with that level of security, he won't deviate from the formula that got him here.
Obviously, just want to survive. I want to hoop, want to have a certain product or a certain representation of myself when I step on the basketball floor. But then also just the different positions that I've been in throughout my career. I've had 40 points before. I didn't sat on the bench. There's not one part of the NBA I have not seen. I have been a starter. I've played in the G League. I have played 40 minutes one game, and then I played 0 minutes one game. So it's a lot of different ways that I still got to attack it to still say some of those nights when you don't play, you need to go after and shoot to get your reps so you can stay ready and, you know, little things like that.
But having a family with NBA pedigree can be a challenge in itself.
You don't just make it to the NBA because of what name you have. You know, you have to work hard, and there's a lot of hard work that goes in behind the scenes to be able to get here.
Battling for a spot as a two-way contract is big man Pete Nance.
Me in particular, I've had a you know, I kind of took the back door into the NBA, played a ton in the G League on just a standard Exhibit 10 contract, earned a couple of two ways. And this is my first year starting on a two way and starting on a roster.
His father, Larry Nance Sr., was a three-time All-Star, and his older brother, Larry Nance Jr., is going into his 11th NBA season. Pete was undrafted out of North Carolina in 2023, and this will be his third season trying to find his footing in the pros. Living up to his last name and all that comes with it has been something he's had to do his whole life.
Something I had to learn just early on as a kid. Obviously, my dad played 13 years in the league, and my brother's going into year 11. So it's a lot, you know, having my last name is a lot to live up to as far as, you know, the two guys that have been in this league before me and have had a ton of success. But really just the thing that I always hold on to is just running my own race and not comparing myself to them at all. My path and journey and story is completely different from theirs. So just focusing on my journey and my race and not putting any type of timeline on myself has helped me a ton.
On his third franchise in as many years, Nance is learning what he needs to do to stick in this league.
Honestly, the biggest thing for me is just finding a way, watching a lot of NBA basketball and figuring it out, figuring out a way to differentiate yourself from everybody else. You know, what can I bring on or off the floor that teams need and will stand out when teams are making these decisions? Because it's very thin margins when it comes to kind of those end of the roster decisions. So any way you can differentiate yourself as far as work ethic, professionalism, consistency, you know, I think style of play, whatever the team needs.
That's good. A rainbow turn.
That strategy translated to a big performance in Milwaukee's preseason opening win against the Heat. Nance led the team with 15 points and was a team-high plus 14 when he was on the floor.
Nice crafty handoff with a Pete Nance slam.
Even for those doing it at this level, before it was a job, basketball was a game. And it's hard to make it in the NBA if you didn't fall in love with it along the way.
I think I was just, ever since I picked the ball up, I've loved the game. You know, luckily for me, you know, I feel like a lot of the times people my size, they're just forced into basketball maybe, just because I was always the tallest kid, so the tall kids always got to play basketball. But I've always really loved it, and I feel super fortunate for that because it helps me day-to-day. Obviously, it's a lot. You know, basketball demands a lot out of our lives, and, you know, our lives are really shaped by what we do. So if it was something that I didn't love, it'd be really hard every day. But I wake up and I'm super excited to come to the gym every day.
More on Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, coming up after this.
Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Trust is the foundation of any successful partnership, especially when it comes to managing risk and planning your future. That's why businesses turn to Gallagher. With over 95 years of experience, Gallagher has the expertise to help businesses navigate complex challenges and seize new opportunities. As a proud partner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gallagher is dedicated to building confidence together. To learn more, visit ajg.com. Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and H&R Benefits consultant.
Going into his ninth season, Bucks forward Kyle Kuzma has championship experience and a lot of perspective on exactly what it takes to sustain a career in the NBA.
Yeah, I would say just you got to keep the main thing the main thing. It's super cliche, it's super boring, but don't lose track of what got you here. Don't lose the love of the game. You know, Kobe told me that, Bron, you know, says that. You know, that's just the recipe, you know, and that's the sauce.
For Kuzma, the advice is straightforward, but life in the NBA may not be.
I think there's so many times in our careers that we kind of fall into like the business aspect of the game, right? And you lose track of, oh, this is fun. Oh, this, I've been doing this for, you know, 20 plus years, right? And you lose that joy. And I think I've never really lost that joy. You know, and sometimes the joy goes up and down because we're human, right? But could never just lose it and just not love it. And I think once you love it, then you're kind of done. You just go through the motions. And I think that keeping the main thing is something that has propelled me to have, you know, I'm going into year 9. You know, the average career is 3 years. So I don't take that for granted.
Growing up in Flint, Michigan, Kuz didn't have family who played in the league showing him the way. But he had the game. And at the time, that was all he needed.
My love from the game comes from since I was 2 years old, since, you know, my living room and this little teeny apartment that we lived in. And we would just, you know, put some tape down and tape a free throw line down, put a little Fisher Price room, little Tykes room right there. And I would just play all day. And I think just ever since that moment, it's always been in my hands. You know, there was this photo when I was like 2 years old. I think my mom took to like Sears, took me to Sears to take photos. And, you know, I had a little small basketball even there, you know, so it's kind of just been with me, you know.
Like Kuz, Bucks wing Andre Jackson Jr. didn't grow up with a lot of examples of people who made it to the NBA.
I just think it's just, it was instilled in me. Like, I just grew up in a fighting family. Like, my mom was a boxer. Both my uncles were like black belt jiu-jitsu. I was probably like 11 years old, might get put in a headlock or arm bar, leg lock. So I think I just had to, just where I grew up and the environment I grew up in, I had to have a chip on my shoulder because nobody ever made it to the NBA from Amsterdam, New York. Like, ever.
Ajax had to fight his love for the game through the work.
That was something that just developed over time. Like, I always played basketball. Like, my father played basketball, so he kind of just introduced it to me when I was young. But then I started working out with a trainer when I was probably in elementary school, going into middle school. And he used to always tell me every day, him and my dad be like, you don't love it, you don't love it.
Because in order to make it to the NBA, you got to love the work.
And I'm like, bro, I'm coming here at 5 a.m. every day. You say I don't love it. Like, so I think that, like, them saying, it's kind of like tough love, you know? Like, they were telling me I didn't love it. So every day, like, when they weren't there and I was working out, like, I was telling myself, I had to motivate myself, you know, like, because they weren't going to be there and do that for me, you know?
Like the rest of his teammates, Andre doesn't let pundits or memes define what this team is capable of doing this season.
I feel like everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Like, I believe that every day I wake up, I'm trying to win a championship. So whether I win it or not, like, I'm just going to continue to try to win. Like, that's just the way I've always played. Like, even at UConn, I lost my first 2 years in the first round. In my mind, I thought I was going to win a national championship those first 2 years, but we didn't. So I think it's just staying down and finding that group of people that are willing to sacrifice, you know, and be there for each other and be the tighter-knit group. I think that's the biggest thing when you're trying to win, is being on the same page, you know, in big moments. If one team is a little bit more together, they can kind of have a little bit of an edge.
This season, it's a new team that will take the floor for the Bucks. But Bobby Portis knows what it takes to win, and what he sees is a team that can do it.
You can tell the guys on our team really want it, and I think that's something special. We have a lot of counted out guys on our team, and when you put a lot of counted out guys together, I think something good comes out of it.
I'm Marcus Johnson, and here's what to expect on the next Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher.
I grew up playing on the ball my whole life and making plays in ball screens and different stuff like that, and so obviously at the NBA level, it's different, and I haven't done it for the past 3 years. It's not what they needed me to do, but it's something within my game that I believe I can get to and continue to grow into that.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.